I am unashamed. What about you?
So, this was my first outing since the coronavirus to go and speak somewhere, because now some churches are opening up and, you know, people are still like weird and you got a lot of rules and stuff like that. But some folks up in Tulsa, at the Park Church up there in Tulsa, some friend of mine, they had invited me way back when, and everybody else had postponed or canceled all our events and stuff like that. And we've all had some that pushed, but you know, they started meeting the week before. So they were like, come on. So it was Father's Day. And it was really, it was great. It was good for me because I hadn't been in front of a live audience in so long. You know, it's just been the cameras, live stream and all that. So they did their first one outside because they wanted to try to make available for people that didn't have to want to wear a mask, because they made their inside like mandatory to mask. And so it was really, so even now it's just interesting, different, because I was speaking in this courtyard outside, but it was really good. And, but you know, when you're in some of these places in the South, you start talking about going outside to meet. I mean, it gets pretty rude, you know, around here. Sun gets up and all that. But luckily, it was overcast. It was perfect. And so I decided, since it was Father's Day, Dad, to talk about, I had never told the Phyllis story, you know, publicly yet, other than what we did on the podcast. So I kind of just worked that into my lesson about the Father and the Son, the idea that, you know, how the grace and what happens and the building up of people. So I kind of told a little bit of your story and what God had done to humble you, to get you ready for everything that we've done and all that in our family. And then how that you go through 44 years and you're living a certain way and you're trusting him and he's brought success and we've certainly had it and we keep helping people. And then all of a sudden he can just drop something in, you know, to say, let me give you a little something new to deal with, you know? And so I told the story about how we, you know, you and I discovered the letter and all that stuff. But, you know, it's really interesting with an audience when you're preaching or, you know, or even just or teaching, you know whether they're listening or not. I always do by the level of noise in the room, which, by the way, is a little harder outside. But the quieter it gets, the more intense they are to listen. And that's what happened with
unless they're sleeping.
Unless they're sleeping. But usually then you get snoring. So,
yeah, it's always a deterrent. I actually have my first this Sunday. I met a guy who
are
I don't,
you going on the road?
Well, sort of. He they're having a convention, a cattleman's convention Sunday in our hometown. They have a big
Here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and so I met this guy. He goes by Chicken. I don't know his real name. Everybody calls him Chicken.
So he's Chicken, and he's heading up the cattleman's.
Well, I think he has cows.
Yeah.
But he told me, he said, they're having a, you know, they have a little church deal because it's a weekend on Sunday. And he said, you know, they were having trouble finding somebody to speak because of coronavirus. And he asked me to speak. I don't know this guy real well, you know, but I was like, yeah, I'll do it. And it'll be interesting. It's like he said, it's 7 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, and they're having a little church service before they trade the cows. Huh. So what do y'all think I should, you got any advice? A guy named Chicken has set me up at a cattle convention, and they're having a church service at the cattle convention.
Oh, is it at the Ike?
Yeah,
oh,
at the Ike. So
you need to do, yeah, what would be a really an interesting one?
I mean, I went, you know, 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone right. Ask you to give the reason.
You
so
can do one on the golden calf, you know.
I'm going to definitely stick with Jesus. To me, if you're in Jesus, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. In our world, today.
You could tell the story, and I mean, just illustratively, remember when we first started school of preaching, they used to always joke that you could always hear in the background the lowing of the sacred cows that were being slayed by all these people that came to preaching school, you know, because everybody comes in with their ideas.
My first thought was,
you got to do something
to
cows.
Get up and say, and for what? A bunch of cows?
More cows?
That's Open Range.
Do you think they would
have
get
you
it?
Seen Open Range? I know
I've seen Open Range. That's a newer one, though.
You know what's weird? I want to have a confession. I got a scathing email. I don't know how they got my email. they said, you had your cousin Zach there and you never let him say anything. I mean, it was just rude. And
I said that.
Oh, you did?
He said that through one of his fake email accounts.
I responded. I said, I responded in all caps. I said, he had not seen the outlaw Josie Wales! ! Sent it back. And look, they sent back and said, wow, I can't believe you responded. That was
whoever that guy was. I like.
No,
that.
It was a woman.
Oh, she's great.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I thought you did.
I hear that a lot, Jess. They complain about you. They said you interrupt Dad too much, and
they said I tell too many stories.
You're kind of the bad boy of the podcast.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, okay, whatever.
Well,
God's grace reaches to all points.
Well, it's funny because I was in Tulsa, and the night before I preached and I was there, Trump was there.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you.
So it was really, so I fly in and get off the plane, and I'm driving to a friend's house that I was staying with, and there's a police car at every exit, you know, as I'm leaving that area. I bet 6 or 7 miles there's a police car at every exit. I thought, man, you talk about what, I guess Oklahoma is saying, whatever's happening in the rest of the country, it ain't happening here.
Did you see protesters?
Never saw any. None. The church I spoke at, the chief of police for the city of Tulsa goes to this church. Yeah. So it was really interesting hearing some insider about everything. But it was actually relatively calm. They didn't have a lot of problems. But again, heavy police, you know, to keep people apart, which is the main thing. You don't want them, you know.
They didn't want them stopping the interstate up.
No, that's right. And it wasn't going to happen. And plus, I know when Trump got there, I'm sure he got the, you know, he gets to, as we saw from here in Monroe, when he gets there, it's clear the road.
I had never seen the interstate closed. It just
they closed the entire interstate.
Oh, yeah. The interstate was closed. I went to get on it, and I'm like, what the heck? Is there a wreck? There's this ghost town down the interstate. I was like, oh, Trump, boy. He said, no, I'll be having that interstate to get to the airport.
Well, that's what they always do when he just comes out. Which would be, how awesome would that be every time you travel, Jay's, if they just shut down everything to get you?
It's not awesome for everybody else.
I remember you guys had a little run there where they did that.
We did it a few times.
Went down with Willie to Lafayette, and I mean, they had 15 cop cars. I mean, we were 90 miles an hour, sirens going. I mean, they shut down streets. This is back at the Hay. I was like, whoa.
Remember they did that, Dad, for me and you in South Carolina? That time we spoke on Super Bowl Sunday. And look, I mean, they had every red light. Everything was green. It was like Bruce Almighty.
It was pretty impressive.
Oh, it was. And we just we went straight to the from the airport.
I left an LSU baseball one because I had an event, but we wanted to go to the LSU, and it was packed. And I was getting panicky. I was like, so I told the coach, Maneri, I was like, look, I'm going to have to leave early because I have to go to this event. The game was just, and it was an awesome game.
Yeah.
He's like, no, we'll get you fixed up. You know, he's like, you know, made a phone call there during the game. And when they grabbed me and we went through everywhere, wide open. It was like 5 minutes, we're out of there. I was like, gee whiz.
Me and Si were at the LSU game. We did a book signing at the student center or whatever they call it, the book club or whatever, the day of the game. So I call the guys, LSU police, you know, like on the campus. I'm way out on the outer, you know, part of the campus, and I call him, and he said, we'll be there in about 5 minutes. So they showed up with a car for us to get into, like an SUV, and then there were motorcycles front and back. And you know how it is on football game day down there, just people everywhere. Same deal. We just, I mean, parting of the Red Sea, and here we come. Right.
You know, you can see some people, they're like, they're stopping traffic for that Duck Dynasty guy. Yeah. And look, I don't blame him for being mad.
No,
I'm
because
like,
you didn't like it. You couldn't get on interstate.
You're so right. This is what's wrong with our society.
It's embarrassing. But when you're in the car, I have to admit, it's pretty awesome.
Well, you're like, it's embarrassing.
It's nice. When it's you're on the waiting end, it's like,
not so I'd much. Be saying the same thing. It's embarrassing, but fun.
That explains most of it. So we didn't mention on the last podcast, but we are still trying to get folks to do a early get your book early, reserve your book, Jesus Politics, which is Dad's new book, which is going to be released August the 4th. And you basically go to JesusPoliticsBook.com, JesusPoliticsBook.com, and you can reserve your early copy. And so we need you to do that. That drives it up where we have a chance to get on some of the book.
So list. Phil, you bought that website, JesusPolitics.com?
Jesus Politics book.
Sort of. No.
he has a guy.
I missed that one.
Oh, no.
We got you, Phil.
Yeah. So tell us what the book's about,
Dad,
Phil.
Give us a little short.
Basically, what the book's about is being members of another political structure, if you want to call it that. The kingdom of God, Jesus being the king, operating, in this case, it will vary with the nation, but in this case, the kingdom of God, how it should operate inside an earthly kingdom, United States of America. It's a democratic republic. The kingdom of God, the members of it, are within that structure. But our politics are different because the king is the one who arrived over in Rome, Jerusalem, and traveled all across the apostles, hitting all the major nations of the earth as far as they could go. So it ends up being, this is a book about a narrow road. I wrote this in the front of this one. That produces the kingdom, love. So you look out in the streets and you see this mighty throng coming by and you might see rioting, looting, burning. They have signs, placards. Well, that's not the kingdom of God. We're within this whole structure trying to have a good impact that involves love, joy. You don't get up in the morning angry. You get up in the morning thankful to be a member of the kingdom. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The kingdom of God is putting those qualities out for everyone to see. So to get on the road, because speaking of roads, that path you see that the looters and the one that burned the towns down and the theft and hollering and cursing and bitterness, you see all that, you say, it's a good picture of the two roads. The road that they're on is wide. Broad is the road. And they're all on it, would seem. Well, over here, on the little pig trail, you have a little narrow road. Only a few find that one. Well, there's your kingdom of God, the few that are walking on the narrow road. The gate to that road is locked at all times, except when one puts his faith in Jesus, his death on a cross, his burial, resurrection. Your faith in that and your response to it, baptized, God sees you with his spirit. The little narrow gate.
Is that a creaky gate?
The little narrow gate has just opened. Jesus said, don't forget to get on the right road. You have to go through me because I am the gate to the road. Do y'all understand that?
Well, wouldn't his gate be open, though? I mean, he is the gate, but it's open for everybody.
It's only open through faith in Jesus. That unlocks.
But everybody qualifies.
Remember, Peter had the keys to that gate, to the kingdom. Yeah. He had the keys to it. You say, when they said, what do we do? Well, he sticked the key in the gate. He said, repent and be baptized, all of you, in the name of Jesus. God will remove your sins and give you the Spirit. It opens and they go in. About 3,500 in that case, wasn't it?
Hang on, Dad. Let's take a break before you keep going. So a lot of folks have switched over to one of our sponsors, Patriot Mobile. They're a phone service provider, and they're Christian, they're conservative, and they really let folks know that they support a lot of the same things that our audience supports as well. So they're trying to encourage you to come over and try out their plan. They're also very, in terms of saving money, they start as low as $25. And they're rated very high. So they're good guys. got a good message and also have a good price. So if you're interested in checking these guys out, you call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Or you can visit patriotmobile.com/Phil to check out their product and see if you want to switch over to these guys.
So Jesus is the King of the kingdom. We're priests in the kingdom. I know that if you saw me or some of y'all walking down the road, when people drove by, Jace, and they looked at you walking down the road, they would not could fathom. They would never say, "There goes one of those priests in the kingdom."
Yeah,
they wouldn't say that, Jace. They'd say some old homeless boy that's turned around.
They might say Judas.
Yeah, you know, they run you out of you know Trump Tower. You know, you didn't come across as a priest.
It always comes back to that. I was the one person evicted from the Trump Tower.
You came across as riffraff.
There's been others.
So,
do you know I actually bought the rights to the facialprofiling.com? So, if you want to try to get that, I've already.
What's it called?
Facialprofiling.com. Yeah. I bought it. It's like $25. You can buy it.
So, back to the book, Jay Stealing My Thunder. So, here's what you say: this book is about how to get on access to the narrow road. Marxism is a highway to hell.
Just you tell us what you
broad
think.
Broad gate. You have to dethrone the kingdom of God to do what they want to do. You have to get rid of the kingdom of God. And mankind has been doing that. The Roman Empire tried it. They said, kill them all. And you can see what happened at the Colosseum and all the wild animals feeding their brothers and sisters. Oh, Rome will rule. Well, you looked up at the end of the day and you say, the kingdom of God prevailed.
Pressed on.
That's right now. So
it's because it's hidden.
Yeah. It's things like this. This is chapter 2. American politicians are undermining the godly foundations of this country by promoting a godless, atheist agenda that is eroding the religious liberty of the citizens of the king. You say, who are they? Marxist. We must rebuild the foundation of the country, returning to the word of God. I got one in front of me there. And protecting the religious liberty of the citizens of the kingdom. You hear about all those old founding fathers. Get rid of them. Tear their statues down. All they were saying is, trust in God. Do what's right. Keep your Bibles. Vote. Vote for leaders who will promote religious liberty. Donald Trump is doing that, fortunately. Protect our rights to practice Christianity in every public square and live lives aligned with Jesus' politics. That's just a little bit of reading over in about chapter 2. Look, I'm a C-plus man. I don't claim to be a rocket scientist or a theologian. I'm just saying common sense and Jesus Christ, and we would go a long way in America, and we've forgotten both. That's just my opinion. So well, here's a book that how we take it back.
And it really, we talked about this before, it's a follow-up to The Theft of America's Soul, which was the book we came out with a year ago. And basically it's saying, here's some solutions to some of the problems you laid out in the first book. So it's JesusPoliticsBook.com is where you go to pre-order the book. And look, the reason why we're asking you to do this is because the more we pre-sell, the higher it puts us on some of the lists. Because I don't know if you know this or not, but a lot of the media likes to put down people like us to not.
The New York Times, when they see the numbers of my books, Al, they wince. They like groan and say, oh.
Well, and they do more than that. They come up with ways to exclude us, you know, off of these lists just because you're conservative or Christian.
No, I think when they see us, because we've had a New York Times bestseller, you know.
We've had a few.
And don't you know that people, when they see that, they're like,
they wince. I use the word wince. How you're going? I mean, Jade, you're kind of going like throwing a fit.
You know what? But this book right here, Jesus Politics. I think you've pre-sold more copies of this than any other book that you've
done.
It's
true. You told me that this morning. I didn't know that until you told me.
Exceptionally well,
and that has a lot to do with Unashamed Nation.
I think that's the folks that are listening. But you know, one of the things I think that's interesting about this book, because obviously, you know, me and Al were
heavily involved in working on this with you, getting it pulled through. I love it because even if, you know, we lose the United States of America, which every nation has eventually fallen over time.
That is correct.
About that passage that you, it's in the book, I think, where it talks about in Daniel, the different kingdoms. You know, Daniel's prophecy when he interpreted.
By the way, that's in the book.
Yeah, it's in the book, and I love that idea that in those days when it says there'll be a rock that destroys that final kingdom, and in those days God will establish a kingdom that cannot be shaken nor destroyed,
and it'll last forever.
It'll last forever. So we are a part of that, which is encouraging for me because when I look at, you know, the nation going to hell in a handbasket, I do have to remind myself, because it's not just Marxism. That's part of the problem, but it can also be nationalism on the other side. If my loyalty is to the United States of America before the kingdom of God, then I've got a problem. You know what I mean?
That's correct.
That's why I love what the message of this book really is, transcendent. It's something that no matter what happens, you know, we're part of a different kingdom.
This basically is how to get off planet Earth alive.
Yeah, and in the presence of God. When you mentioned the gate, Jesus isn't only the gate; he's also the road, he's the way, he's the actual way.
You got it.
Well, and I think the books, we've mentioned this before when you've been on. And by the way, those of you maybe new listeners, this is Zach Dasher, our cousin. Jan, we mentioned Jan a lot on the podcast, Dad's youngest sister that went on to be with the Lord. This is her son. But Zach and I have been partners for a while, and we started, our first project was Torchbearer, which was the movie that Zach wrote most of the treatment for, which, by the way, you can get Amazon Prime. You can still find that if those of you guys hadn't watched it. But it really, I feel like Dad's books, the books we've been doing, are really a response to sort of what you guys talked about in the movie, mm-hmm. and that's the reaction to what happens without God. In other words, without God in these systems, countries, nations, movements, whatever you want to do, I mean, it always falls to tyranny.
I don't know how many you'd have to see in history that rose and fall before you would say, this thing can fall. We better be careful. I'm trying to keep that from happening.
Well, and look how fast our country, I mean, this has been quite a rise quickly.
Tell me about it.
But it's beginning, we're all beginning to think, well, is the fall going to be that fast as well? Because, man, things unraveled pretty quickly here in just the last few decades.
We're basically on a little narrow pig trail, the sons and daughters of God. There are more of them, the ones on the other side, than there are of us, I think. I'm just looking over at that wide road.
Well, you're quoting the verse.
Yeah, what they're doing. I'm just watching that road, that wide road, and I'm thinking,
but
what are they doing? They're tearing down statues, yeah. Burning and looting.
Which I don't even know what Marxism is. I mean, I hear y'all talk about it, you know. But
it came from a guy named Karl Marx who was up to no good, Jace.
Thank you for that. What I'm saying is it doesn't matter to me, because you can be in Jesus.
What is Marxism?
Yeah, I don't know. Y'all read all this stuff.
We read things in books.
I have one book. It's one I stick with, and I feel I'm better off for it, because I don't like the news media to whip me up into a frenzy. I like to get my facts from other people that I see on the streets, and you know, from this book. So, like, when you're talking about all that, talking about, yeah, okay, I got kicked out of the Trump, you know, whatever. When somebody sees me walking down the road, they're not thinking, boy, there's one of the kings of the earth.
Never.
But when you think about what Jesus, my favorite chapter in the Bible is Luke 15. I've probably said that before. Here's Jesus. He, even though the road is narrow, he's eating with tax collectors and sinners, and the religious people came up there and said, well, this ain't right. If you're religious, why are you eating with them? Which shows you that he was after everyone. A lot of religious people, they have trouble.
He was a friend to them all.
With this chapter, because it's like, what he tells these three stories based on him just having a meal mm-hmm. with the broad road that you brought up. But he's having a meal with them. So he's showing those qualities. You talk about love, joy, peace, patience. Mm-hmm. And so at the end of the third story, when the son, you know, returns, well, what did he do? He kind of made him a king. He got him a robe. He put a ring on his finger. They killed a cow, Maybe this is where I need to go with my cow thing. Because the fattened calf got killed. That's where I'm going.
That's it.
I need a fat cow. Can I say that? I'm going to say that. I'm looking for a fat cow.
Yeah, because everybody.
And then I'll tell them this story of redemption. Perfect. Thank you for this.
There you go.
Let's give the credit to God. So now, then when you, I had a thought while you were talking. Jesus is the King of Kings.
That's it.
We usually think of kings of the earth.
While you're there, he's a king whose yoke is easy and his burden is light. Think about that. You say,
I like that.
This
kind of king.
This is not difficult. You can do this.
Yeah.
Hang on, Jess. Let's take another break. So, Dad, we haven't talked about your, you have any new ailments lately? You seem to be pretty good these days. None. Earlier, I guess it was last year, torn bicep, you had, cut out of your leg.
Look at all that.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's just.
Just sheared that off.
Yeah.
Give it 2 or 3 weeks, you're fine.
So it's good to know. And also, you have been taking Omega XL, you and I have been, which I've noticed a big difference in just the normal aches and pains. Do you feel like
I think it helps.
I think it helps, too. So it's helped me. Basically, Omega XL has helped us with inflammation. I got a buddy of mine that fell off a 20-foot ladder and broke both his ankles. I mean, just a terrible thing. He was doing a mission trip, And so he told me that now they've reworked his ankles and all, but he has a lot of inflammation issues. And so he's going to start trying it. So he's going to let me know if even something that severe, if it might help with some of his pain. So we're hoping that it does. We definitely recommend it. Dad and I have been taking it. Omega XL is what it's called. And so if you go to omegaxl.com/Phil, you buy a bottle, you get a second one free, which is great. OmegaXL.com/Phil, or you can give them a call, 1-800-844-4888. That's 1-800-844-4888.
So there's your sermon.
That's it.
I mean, I really think that he's made us kings of the earth because all our forgiveness, we have forgiveness for all our past. We have access to God and His Spirit, and all these qualities that make someone really valuable. He's not talking about the ring, and that was a spiritual analogy.
We have intercession.
Yeah, and if you die, what makes you the king of the earth is that the earth can't hold you.
Mm-hmm.
So you're a king. Mm-hmm. If you can beat death, you're a king. Yeah, and now He's the King of Kings. So when you're talking about the kingdom, I don't know, that's just where my head went. Yeah.
It's interesting about the prodigal son story. There's a famous painting by Rembrandt called The Prodigal Son. Very famous painting. And it's the picture is the father's embracing the son, and you can see the two hands. And one hand is like this firm, fatherly, masculine hand, and to show kind of the firmness and the power of God. And then the other hand is a very feminine, loving hand, like a motherly hand. And what Rembrandt was trying to get across is the God that we serve. Yes, He is this, and it's in the Prodigal Son. He's powerful, He's sovereign, He's holy, He's mighty. He's not to be trifled with. But at the same time, He's loving, embracing, gracious, caressing. You mentioned about the yoke being easy. I think
the burden light.
When you think about it, because God does represent both ideas of mother and father. And Paul even has, there's a verse that said he gathers his children together as a mother would gather her children together. Because think about it, we refer to it in the masculine gender, but he's got the same, to God, he's everything. He's above all gender.
Well, I think it's why he said in Galatians 3, there's neither male nor female, which is such a hot button subject in our culture.
Yeah.
And really you find it in Jesus. And you're just kings.
And the describe it, when I give my testimony about, because I was a prodigal son, and when I talk about coming home, it's interesting you said that, Zach, I hadn't thought about that I talk about, Dad and I had the hard conversation when I left. But I stayed a little bit in contact with Mom because, mother always is going to keep a little tether, to her son. Dad and I never talk. But when I came home, Mom and Dad both came out to meet me. And so when I tell that story, I talk about how that father met that son, you know, on the road. He didn't wait till he got there and was sitting in his chair and just going to, you know, lambaste him. Instead, he went out and met him. And so I said, Mom and Dad met me in the yard.
That's beautiful.
Which was both of you saying, welcome home. And then I always say, we kill the fattened catfish and have a celebration.
Yeah.
Because I lost
it. But I see that story.
Listen this, Jason, the Kings. You are a chosen people. That's the kingdom of God within the United States of America. A royal priesthood is alive and well within these United States of America. A holy nation inside a democratic republic. A people belonging to God that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness. I've been there for 28 years. The last 45, I've been with Jesus. Into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The people of the kingdom are always be merciful. What's amazing is he ends us up and says, dear friends, I urge you, here's the way we're to be the kingdom of God inside the United States of America. I urge you as aliens, Zach, and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, which happens all the time, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. That's the job of the kingdom, that royal nation, that people of God, royal priesthood. You're like, good night.
I like it when
I am thrilled to be a member of that.
You read too. Those verses when it says, you can Google it and look, when it says King of Kings, his king is capitalized.
Yeah.
But the little kings, we're not capitalized.
Lord of Lords.
I don't know why I thought that. But
by the way, just to that point, when you see, if you're reading your Bible and you see spirit capitalized, it's Holy Spirit, and then you see little spirit, that's us.
Yeah.
Same thing. That's a distinction.
Well, you almost can get the point where if they pulled over and saw you, Jace, said, who are you? You could answer. You're not going to believe what I'm fixing to tell you.
Well, it all comes back to that. Is that 1 Timothy 6 where when he makes that illustration when Jesus was before Pilate and he said, "Are you a king?"
Yeah.
I mean, because then Timothy addressed that. He said he made the.
Yes, first Timothy noble, 6.
And I think it says King of
Read
Kings.
That
there.
Read that one. Read that now. That's a good one.
I think it says, we'll see if my theory is true about the capitalization.
Yeah, it's there on both of us. First Timothy 6, starting in verse 13.
Which is why you had the two Old Testament, Al, the kings, because it was the shadow that one day we would be kings.
That's right.
Seriously.
I know.
It's pretty incredible. So you think about, you know, because I usually don't like a king or that kind of.
Well, our
system
and
our
country rebelled against the king,
right.
Which was interesting.
Unless I am one because of the King of Kings. This kingdom living.
You're a spiritual king, James, but kingdom, nobody knows it but God.
But I look like a vagrant.
That's it.
It's
kingdom
awesome.
Living is sort of like TV living.
So I'm a king. People are like, yep, yawn.
Hang on, Jess. Let's take one more break before you read. So, Jace, one of our new sponsors, I figured you would like them because their name is Ajace, A-D-J-A-C-E. They spelled it a little bit different.
They did. I would have liked it better if they would have changed the C to S. However, I like the spirit of the name.
What I like about these guys is that it's about churches. So that kind of, you know, spoke to me because I've been doing church work for a long time. Basically, it's a technology that connects churches and helps you build a database that can then interface with the worship like you guys do, do the worship software. And so it's a way to connect those things with the people. So it's pretty good. Basically, they help you build and keep that directory. They use Planning Center software as well, is what they combine with and interface with. So it's really good. It's a quick setup, which is good for people like me who are not very smart on the computer.
Well, everything's going to live streaming and digitally anyway.
This world, that's why I told these guys. I was like, you guys are cutting edge because it's all going that way. I mean, now we're doing
They're
so going
to take away your excuse, Phil.
That's right.
Because you're like, oh, everything on there is bad. Well, they're trying to make something good on there.
So we get, you know, address, phone number for a membership. It's secure. No one outside your church will be able to access the directory. So they put a hedge of protection around, which is great. It has mobile app access, which is really good. And a printout, it says, for you, Dad, here. So, you know, because Dad still goes off the printouts. It's also inexpensive. It's free for churches under 50. So you small churches and you're thinking, man, how could we afford that? They're going to do it for you for free. $10 a month for churches between 50 and 250, which is where most are, and then it goes up from there depending on your size. So you go to Ajace, A-D-J-A-C-E, Ajace.com, hit the new church button. You'll be up and running in 2 minutes, and you'll be better connected.
So he says in verse 13, in the sight of God, 1 Timothy 6:13, who gives life to everything. Boy, that's just what a statement. And of Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate made the good confession. I think that was when he said, are you a king?
Are you a king?
He's like, he didn't disagree.
Well, he said yes, you're right. Yeah. For this reason I came to be king.
Yeah. I charge you to keep the command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about him in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler. And then it says the King of Kings. It's kind of a subliminal. He made the good confession. Yeah, I'm a king. The Lord of Lords, who alone, this is what makes you a king. If you say, well, how do I be the King of Kings or Lord of Lords? Who is immortal, and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever.
Yeah, and think about this. He's unapproachable, but yet going, well, I think someone said we were going to talk about John 6, the Lord's Supper. You know, he says, yeah. I am the bread of life.
Yeah.
You know, you think about that, this unapproachable being humbled himself, allowed us to get our hands on him. We couldn't approach him, so he approaches us.
Through Jesus.
Which is the story of the prodigal son, right? With that, why he was a long way off, the Bible says, that then the father went after him.
That's why I think, now y'all can disagree or whatever. That's why when I read something like the prodigal son, and I look at our culture, because everybody I'm seeing, because now I'm bumping into people or texting people that I haven't seen for months because we've all been quarantined. Mm-hmm. And they all say the same thing. Boy, what a time to live life. What has happened to our world? What kind of country is this? And I usually say something like, well, it's an epic time for Jesus. You know, people need you. Because that's where we're at. Everybody's like, what is wrong? What is going on? And I think about all the riots, and we got the coronavirus, and all these politicians are up making all this. And here's Jesus in my mind, a modern-day Jesus. He's in a back room somewhere having a meal with a bunch on the broad road, and we're like, well, wait a minute now. This is not what you should be doing. You should be out here, you know, protesting. But that's what happened in Luke 15. He was not doing what we want him to do, which goes back to our phrase about they wanted to make him king by force.
Right.
He's having a meal with a bunch of hellions, and they're like, well, this is not the way this is supposed to be.
To your point, that entire, the lost sheep, the lost coins, and the lost son, all three of those parables, the purpose of the reason Jesus gave them was not for the what we usually emphasize, the lost part, but for the son, the older brother, who represented the Pharisees, who didn't want him doing that.
Yeah,
I mean, that's where it starts. That's where it ends. Because remember, the older brother is really the point of the parable. You should be glorifying when people get on that narrow road. Instead, he was like, why should we? He's been out living this sinful life. Why should we accept him back? That was the purpose of what Jesus was talking about, because the Pharisees were complaining that he was eating with the broad, you know, road people.
It's critically important that people understand, again, to Timothy, Paul to Timothy, if I'm delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. beyond all question. And boy, is it ever. Back then and today, the mystery of godliness is great. He appeared in a body, God becoming flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit. He's dead, he's gone. 3 days later, whoops, he's up again. He appeared in a body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, beginning over there, all the way to here. Who believed, was believed on in the world, were part of the believers, was taken up to glory. He didn't mention the return, but when the return occurs, boys, all I have to tell you is what they're screaming for on the streets of America, justice, they're going to get it. What we are thankful of, he was merciful. You shouldn't scream for justice, you should scream for mercy. From the God of heaven. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Therefore, we're members of the kingdom of God because of God's mercy extended toward us through Jesus. And you're like, man, mercy rules. Thank you, Lord, for not giving me justice because I deserve death.
But it's hard to convey that in our society.
Oh, tell me about it.
I've shared this story before.
It's like pulling teeth, Jace.
But it seems more applicable now today because of all the tensions, the race, with what's happened in our culture. But, you know, Willie and I think it was when the Rodney King thing happened and all the tensions were there. Well, you know, back then I wasn't watching the news much. And Willie and I,
changed, Jace, and all these.
Yeah, some of our best friends were the Lewises, and we went over there. We had a fish fry and. Well, we went and played basketball, Willie and I, at what they call the square, which is basically an outdoor piece of concrete with two rims that have no nets. You know, it's pretty rough. And, Willie and I, we didn't notice. We're the only two white people there. I guess we knew that subconsciously. But, you know, we were going to be at the Lewis's that night. Everybody was coming.
Like a gathering there.
But there was a lot of racial tensions at that time that we weren't really taking seriously. Well, a cop car pulled up, of course, and look, you know, to kind of give credit to a lot of people that are protesting, I would say half the players took off running. You know, he just pulled up. Half. Now, it could have been because they were up to no good, or it could have been, you know, bad experiences. Right, yeah, what happened? And so they hollered at me and Willie to come over there, the cops. So we walked over there. I was mad because we're playing basketball. I'm in the heat of the game, you know. And they're like, what are y'all doing? And Willie's like, we're playing basketball. And he's like, well, you need probably ought to get out of here before dark. And Willie said, why? Because we were, like I said, in the heat. And I was just thinking, what does he want? I mean, we literally were not thinking, hey, have you not heard where there's racial tensions? You're white on a court. And we really were not thinking that. And he said, you're white. And Willie said, yeah.
No kidding.
He said, we're eating fish here a little bit at Miss, you know, Uridale's. Yeah. You know, we were having a fish fry. We're playing basketball before that. And he's like, well, I'm just telling you, you probably ought to leave here before dark. And Willie's like, all right, I didn't say anything. He's like, all right, we appreciate it. You know, and then we went back to playing basketball. But now I look back on that, I kind of get it as far as from his, if I would have said, look, we're members of the kingdom of God. See that guy there, Paul? Look, he's my brother. Okay, he's black. But, I mean, we're eating fish at his house. We've gone over on purpose. I'm not thinking about the black, white. We're in Jesus together. These are some of his friends. They all know we're okay.
Jace, you know? You've just given the problem in America and the solution. Jesus is the solution.
That's what I think.
I think it's right.
From one man, God made every nation of men.
If you say that, people go, yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah.
But what I'm describing is a meal that we were having and having some recreation in the meantime. We weren't noticing that because we go over there all the time.
I gave Uridale Davis thousands of pounds of fish through my fishing career. I'd go by there. I said, Uridale, got you some fish. And there were always, she was an older woman.
And what a woman.
Oh. You know? And look, she had a house full of children. I don't know where they came from.
Some of them were hers, and some of them she just took care of. Yeah.
We're neighborhood kids. Let's take one last break.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit fearlessarmyrollcall.com to secure your spot.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up.
Great woman. She's passed on the other side. I'll see her again.
When you talk about the kingdom, it is interesting that some of the parables, other parables that Jesus uses, are around a meal. You know, he talks about the feast and going out and bringing people to the feast and the idea that, and it's that idea you described, Jason. I hadn't thought about it until you said that, that around a table is kind of that concept of bringing people in to be a part of that. So, I mean, he kind of compares the kingdom of God to that. It's like a feast. It's like
it's disarming. I mean, when you get when you're around a table, it's a lot more difficult for me to rip you to shreds than I could as an avatar on social media. I could rip your avatar.
Yeah.
You know, I can virtue signal against your avatar because I'm looking at a face on a screen. I don't even know who you, I don't even know you.
And it's probably not even what it looks like you. Yes.
Absolutely not. It's gone through a filter or whatever. Right. But when we remove, and that's where culture's at, by the way. We're Instagram culture. Everything's online. Everything's on social media, virtual worlds. I'm even Zooms and all that. But what
they're not having meals together.
They're not having meals together.
That's it.
When you have the fish fry, when you have the jambalaya or the gumbo here in Louisiana, and everybody comes around, it's disarming because I have to look you in the face before I rip you to shreds and kind of put you in some kind of category. And I think to your point, I mean what I see happening in the culture right now is they're clamoring for an answer that could only be found in Jesus' church.
That's it.
That's the only place you're going to smell the aroma of Christ is when you walk into a setting and you see some burly redneck, was African-American, with Merrill Lynch, financial advisor, physician. You see all these people together, and you're like, this does not make sense.
Yeah.
But it smells really good.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's Jesus.
That's why I think the evil one's behind all that. You know, when it comes to disease and people suffering, and I tend to put that on him because he wants to isolate people.
Yeah.
And then you throw in the internet where everyone's already by nature isolated. And so then you get all worked up about what's going on and this hate and our differences. And so then here we come back, you know, with a meal. That's why the Lord's Supper, which we were going to talk about from John 6, it seems so simple and it seems so crazy to them. And him even saying, you know, I'm the bread of life and I have living water, and these simple little things that he was trying to get in their head, that people say, oh, we come together as a meal, all sharing a common, you know, problems and solution in Jesus. And I think that's the picture that he wanted to present.
Well, it's interesting because we've been talking about Jesus as king, and I preached a sermon a few weeks ago about this, where you look at Jesus, who is the King of Kings, who is God, is God who was in flesh here on the earth and went back. And he had no problem getting down on his knees and washing the feet of his disciples. I mean, he was a servant, you know, and he had no problem getting on his knees and praying for himself and everyone in the garden. So I thought about that concept of him on his knees. But then I remember what he said to Satan when Satan was tempting him. Remember early in when he was just starting his ministry, Satan asked him to bow his knee to him. Now, here's a man who has no problem getting down on both knees serving anybody, including weak disciples. Satan asked him to get down on his knee and give him fealty, and we'll rule together. Because he said, look around. So you see who's in charge here. I mean,
we'll be kings.
I'm the king. I'm really the king of this dump. And that's what Satan was saying. And Jesus says, I'll never bow the knee to you because I serve the Lord my God and him only.
Yeah.
And so with this happening, it is a couple of weeks ago, it struck me preaching that I was watching people on their knee to a cause. And it really struck me. I was like, why would you get on your knee to that? But you won't consider many getting on your knee to Christ, which would then eliminate this whole problem. Because if we were together on the thing as brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ, mm-hmm. we could come up with the right solution.
That's what people do who look at kings as like wealth and what they have, what they don't realize because they're to look at Jesus. So why do I need that?
Right.
I mean, I have everything. And I'm like, yeah, but you're living in a fine house in a neighborhood that's going to be leveled. You know, we're talking about the broad road that leads to destruction. Right. It looks awesome, but guess what? It's going to be leveled.
Yep. So Think about all the great palaces of the past and, I mean, beautiful kingdoms that were there, and now where are they? They're underground.
I'm out there metal detecting, trying to find
the treasures
that are
left. Piece
of history, because it got leveled.
Well, the lie is that we're told that we have to fight for at least like personally, I got to fight for my equal position. And then I think when you read the words of Paul in Second Timothy or Philippians 2, he says your attitude should be like that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. So you look at the nature of this holy, powerful being who spoke everything into existence. I mean, like we're talking about this guy, he's not a created being,
mm-hmm.
and he condescends, he makes himself nothing. He takes on human nature. Like when you think about that type of humiliation.
Yeah.
And so the answer, I think this is the answer to what's going on right now. I don't think we have to come up with it. I think that Christ has given it to us. That we are to have that attitude. That's shocking in a world right now where everybody's on both sides. Everybody's protesting. That's everyone's right. trying to find their identity in their politics, whether they're Marxists or nationalists, or Republicans, Democrats. Man, the kingdom of God is just beyond. That's why I love that you don't read that because you do have a purity about you. I read all that stuff. Jesus politics.
So basically, what I've gathered here today is that we're humble kings.
Amen.
There you go. I like
we're
that.
Humble kings. Humble kings. I need to buy that. Humblekings.com. Write a book. That may be my next book.
Well, unfortunately, yes, somebody's probably already is.
I'm glad it's not based on IQ because I would be coming up short.
But most kings are not humble.
That's right.
No, they're not.
They're prideful.
You
know what? We should get Phil to pray for us. Pray for our country.
I think that's an awesome idea. So, Zach, will you come back next time? Because I want to talk about John 6. I want to talk about the bread of life. So we just never referenced it. We did talk, but I'm preaching on it. I got to talk about it some more. So you'll come back next time.
Yeah, I think so.
Hopefully, we'll get you back. If not, we'll talk about it. But Dad, why don't you close this one with a prayer
for our
country?
Father, you have heard our words today. We grovel at your feet. The one you sent, Father, one thing he showed all of us, you are a one merciful God. Thank you, Father, for being merciful toward us. I pray that our country wake up and arise and stand up. Put their faith in your Son. He's done a mighty thing for us. He's removed our sins. Blessed is the man, Father, you said, whose sin you'll never count against him. That's the work Jesus did. On top of that, you guaranteed us we could be raised from the dead and we would go from mortal to immortal. What a thought. Thank you for your Spirit that you've given us that's available to all men and women in these United States and worldwide. I pray, Father, for a mass awakening. I pray, Father, that we would make you the main thing and everything the main thing. Thank you, Father, for being merciful to us. I pray that your people would rise up and we salvage the United States of America. Father, we are operating as your kingdom inside this Democratic Republic. Help us, Father. Point everyone to Jesus, your Son. I pray this in his name. Amen.
Amen.
So we're so glad you guys were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or YouTube or Facebook. And be sure and rate us on iTunes so that other people can know about the podcast.